Needs. Have to excuse me each morning. Before I preach, I need to make sure the microphones are in the proper settings. I wear two, one for the sanctuary and one for our online ministry. And I always make sure that when we're singing that my microphones are off. And one Sunday not too long ago, I made sure I turned off the sanctuary microphone, but I left the internet microphone on. And Brother Roger, whenever he sees that I've left the mic on, we have a signal. That's when he's supposed to record. And so my singing, yeah. We'll just leave that where it's at. Amen. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome in the name of the Lord. Today we continue our current series called I Am. The seven I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John. Today is part five, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you have your Bibles all over the sanctuary, would you please hold them over your head, whether in digital or printed format. Amen. Hallelujah. Please turn to John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. I believe and I know that we will discuss today what I feel is the most important question that you will find in Scripture for the person that is making a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, speaking of the Bible, the more I study, the more I discover I don't know. The more I discover I needed to learn. Amen? And, you know, I study all the time. But it's important to understand that the Bible contains everything that we need in order to secure eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Reading from the Word of God, if you're in your Bibles, at John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The central question in all of the Scripture. You know, friends, we look around our country today, or countries around the world, and we see so much strife. We see people at each other's throat. We see Americans at each other's throats. People looking for answers to how we can heal. People looking for love in all the wrong places, as a song used to go many years ago. But Jesus is saying, whatever the problem, whatever it is that you're looking for, I am the answer. I am the answer. See, friends, that is the message, that is the simplicity of the cross of Jesus Christ. At times, people try to make things so complex. They try to dress things up more than they need to be dressed up. In churches, people try to make things so complex. They put in a lot of rules and religious regulations. But we don't buy that here at the Living Hope Baptist Church. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, and that the message of the cross is found in the Gospels, and the Gospels is the Bible. We believe that from the first word of the Bible to the last word of the Bible, that God has declared His Son is the way to everlasting salvation. And all God's people said, amen. You see, listen, friends, for people that try to make rules, people that try to make regulations about whether or not someone is saved, miss the point. They're trying to make it about those things when all the time it's all about Jesus. Whatever the question may be, Jesus is the answer. Yes. Friends, church is not something that you just show up for and get the notch in your belt for that week. So many folks go to their church week in and week out. Some of them singing amen and hallelujah and agreeing to what the pastor says. But they leave church with no more intention of their lives being changed in Christ than if they had just watched some TV show. Friends, this is not entertainment. I remember years ago, myself and Brother Michael Chinqui, him and I were licensed as preachers at the same time. We used to go to a place called Remington House. It was an assisted living home. That's where we met Pastor Divine, as a matter of fact. Many years ago, he was working and serving there. And, you know, when we get there, the place was predominantly people of God's people, the Jewish people, and they would gather each Sunday to come into the service area. And one lady each week we showed up, Miss Ruth Ann can vouch for this, would say, "The entertainment is here." But we weren't there to be about the entertainment. We were there to just be to love them and to spend time with them and to serve them and to sit with them. And each week we simply preached about Jesus for about 15 or 20 minutes. They were elderly. And by the way, if you're boring with the elderly, they just get up and leave. They don't have time to waste for that. They have a whole different outlook on life. I can't tell you how many times we were preaching or we were singing, and because the area where we met was kind of a throughway. So there'd be like 40 or 50 of us in this room where the service was at, and somebody would have passed away during the night. And while we were singing or I was preaching or Brother Michael was preaching, they would wheel them through. And the folks have become so used to that. They go, "Oh, look, Claudia passed on. Amazing grace." And go right back to singing. But did you know that over time, simply because we preached with love and compassion, "Thus saith the Lord," that when we went there, when we started going there, there was one person in all of the hundreds that were there that were Christians, that had received Christ. And when they closed the place and when we stopped doing that ministry because they had closed the place down, literally everyone that we knew there had received Christ. What a blessing that was. Knowing that at that age, you know, Satan just knew he had them. They were all close to the end, but they received the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they allowed Jesus to change their lives. It was no longer the entertainment. It was all about the relationship. And so I encourage you today, in a few minutes we're going to be sharing some notes with you. Jot down some notes on your bulletins there. If you're watching on the internet, you can download the notes right there. But we want you to understand that we're not here as entertainment. We are here to declare the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to trick you. We're not here to be sneaky about it. We're going to tell you right up front that this church is all about Jesus. In other words, we live our lives through Christ. We live our lives through the Lord our God. And we call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to fill this place. You see, so many people forget that. They forget that Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life," and that you may have life what? Abundantly. Look again quickly at verse 25. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." What great words those are. Now friends, if you want to live before you die, and if you want to live after you die, then I have four thoughts to share with you this morning about how this new life begins. Are you ready? Well, first, our first point is that you must exercise faith in Jesus. You must exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at those words. At verse 25 through 26a, I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 25 and then the first half of 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall" what? "Never die." Never die. Christ is saying, "Have faith in me and you will live forever." But people say, "Well, Pastor Larry, I see Christians that die all the time." Well, yes, this body wears out, this body dies, but our spirit, our souls go to heaven, amen? And that's where I want to be. You know, people say, well, I have a big mansion in heaven, or will I be able to do this or do that? Well, yes, heaven's going to be awesome, but the main attraction of heaven is Jesus Christ. When I walk through those pearly gates, my Lord's going to be right there. And in spite of what anybody else may think, he's going to be glad to see me. Amen? Don't you want him to be glad to see you? Well, let's try that one more time. Don't you want the Lord Jesus to be happy to see you in heaven?
Amen.
Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, I want to tell you right now, He wants you in heaven. We're going to prove that during this message today. It's not just for a select few. Jesus wants everyone to come to Him. Now listen, friends. John chapter 11, this chapter that we're in, opens with the declaration that Lazarus, a man that Jesus Christ loves, is dying. There are two sisters, Mary and Martha. They send for Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ purposely delays before He goes. He delays until His friend is dead. He delays when it seems, speaking in earthly terms, it's too late. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like your prayers, you pray and they go up and they bounce right off the ceiling and come right back down? Don't get all spiritual looking on me here now. I know you listen, guys. I know I remember the story of the pilgrims as they were sailing over from England to come to America on the Mayflower. They were being torn apart by storms, and they were gathered around the mainmast of this sailboat ship, and they decided to start praying. And they were praying and nothing was going on. And finally the preacher, the rector as they were calling it, they said, "Lord, hurry up." You ever prayed like that? "Lord, hurry up. Lord, I'm asking you about this. And by the way, Lord, this is the third time this week I've talked to you about this." See, that's the way we pray sometimes, friends. But we all know today's story. Mary and Martha are upset. Look down in verse 32. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." Man, I don't know about you guys, but that just beat me up this week. "Lord, if You had been there, that would not have happened in my life. Lord, if You had been here, that would not have happened. Lord, if You were in this, we would have our own building. Lord, if You were in this, we would have this, that, or the other. We would have room in the parking lot." How many people had to hunt for a spot to park this morning? Oh, that's good. Oh, there you go. All right, well, that's unusual because usually there's one person whose hands are down and everybody else's hands are up as we're trying to find some place to park. But look at this. Mary, she's saying, "Lord, if You'd been there, He wouldn't have died." Look down in verse 39. If you're there, please say amen. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Things are getting real now. What would you do if you were at the graveside of a loved one and the Lord Jesus told you that had been dead, they've been processed by the funeral home, and the Lord comes and says, "Take away the grave and dig him up"? Now think about that. Things are getting real now for Mary and Martha. Amen. Look at this. Look at the rest of verse 39. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, Lazarus' sister, said to Him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Lord, I want to follow You, but it's too late even for You, is what Martha is saying. The body stinketh. Jesus carries on. Whether you realize it or not, when we're going through the travails of life, when we're all worried, Jesus isn't worried one bit. He's not up in heaven going, "Ooh, I wonder what I'm going to do next. Oh, what can possibly happen next?" That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He is in total control. He has declared the beginning from the end. He is the Son of God. Amen? And so, as he's up there, look in verses 43 and 44, reading from the Word of God. It says, "Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Now I know what some of you may be thinking right now. We all have folks that have gone on to be with the Lord. Amen. And you're thinking, well, if God raised Lazarus from the dead, then why doesn't God raise all of our loved ones from the dead and just make things better for us here? But since He doesn't, why does He show us this miracle in this I am part of the Scripture? In other words, why did God do this? In fact, why did God do miracles at all? What is the purpose of miracles? Hold in your place right here. Flip over to chapter 20 of this same book, John chapter 20. Oh, I love seeing those Bibles turn. John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. If you're in a paper Bible and you're there already, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Why did He do this miracle? So that you may know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and that you may believe upon His name. The reason Jesus does these miracles, it's not an ego trip. It's not showmanship. It is to reinforce our first point today, that we must exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must exercise faith. And yes, it must be through Christ and Christ alone. There's a passage written on the front of your bulletins today. If you glanced there when you came in, it's the passage we read every single week at Living Hope Baptist Church. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Back to our passage. Now, in our story today, there are so many things that are right about Lazarus. You know, he loved the Lord Jesus, and Jesus loved him. There are so many things that are right about Lazarus, but right now, there's one thing that's really wrong about Lazarus. What is that? He's dead. He is dead. And friends, we all know that dead is dead and nothing changes dead. Amen? Not on this earth anyway. You see, friends, it doesn't matter what difference or how well they prepared him. In other words, when they prepared Lazarus for the grave, it doesn't matter how much they dressed him up. Look how nice he looks. No, he's still dead. Amen? Matter of fact, if you've gone to a funeral, and I've done many, don't open that tomb, Lord, he stinketh. Now listen to me for a moment. Don't get all offended and storm out or stop the video if you're watching on the internet. Apart from Jesus Christ, separated from Christ, we are all dead in our sins. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that say? How many?
All.
All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a person in here that has not broken every one of the Ten Commandments. And don't raise your hand saying, no, I haven't. Because we pulled that one before. But some people say, well, Pastor Larry, I've never murdered anybody. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you say, I have not murdered yet. I say, if you have anger in your heart against your brother or your sister, you have murdered them in your heart. We are all guilty of this. And what is the problem with all of us having sin? Is that in Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin is death. Death means separation from God for all of eternity. So according to the Word of God, the Bible, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all dead in our sins. In fact, we stinketh. Each and every one of us. But we don't have to stay there. Because God has made a way for us to come home. In John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus said, how does it read? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever... You see, if you're sitting here today and you're not saved, if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're watching on the internet and you've never received Jesus Christ, that whosoever is you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have what? Eternal, everlasting life. And I don't know about you guys, but that's good news. I don't want to just go hang out in heaven. I want to go to heaven to stay. I want to go to heaven to rejoice in the Lord. And all that is required is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life in heaven after this earthly one. Now, who are my mathematicians here? Any mathematicians? People really good at math, statistics? Yeah, I figured that one, Ronell. All right, I figured that one. For all of our mathematicians, I want you to take this average. Okay, you know how to do an average. You know, you take one number, divide it by the bigger number, and you get the percentage. Okay, somewhere between 0 and 100%. So far, one out of every one dies. Say amen.
Amen.
So far, except for Elijah and Enoch in the Word of God, one out of every one dies. It's a 100% rate. And one day, I will as well. But I want you to know that if you come to my funeral, my memorial, I'm not there. I'm not there. Because this body of mine may be there, but I am redeemed of God. And when the Bible says that when I'm absent from the body, I am present in the Lord. I'm present in the Lord. You see, back to our guy, back to dead Lazarus. Dead is dead, but Lazarus was raised from the dead, and only God can do that. It takes a miracle for God to defeat death. So what am I getting at today? You see, our social engineers today say that, you know, we have four things that start with E of how we can change people. How do we change human beings? It's with the four E's that they come up with, these social engineers. First, they say encouragement helps. Not Lazarus. You can stand there at the grave and say, encourage him all you want. Come on, buddy, you can do it. You can stand there all day long till the next day. He's not getting up. Amen? Second, they say, well, lead by example. Lazarus, watch me. You can do it. No, he can't. It doesn't matter what your example is. He's staying right where he is. Third, they say, well, change the environment. If you change the environment where he's at, we can change human beings. I don't think so. Listen, guys, you can take Lazarus out of the dead and do Weekend at Bernie's all you want. Hey, by the way, if you've ever seen that movie, did Bernie ever come back to life? Absolutely not. That is not going to help. Finally, they say, well, education. Education helps. You know, you could take a book and say, okay, Lazarus, this is what death is, and this is what life is. Now that you're educated, I need for you to get... Listen, guys, none of that's going to help. Amen? Social engineering does not help. But what about those four E's from perspective of God? In other words, not from man's perspective, but from God's perspective. Friends, encouragement comes in the form of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that if we believe on Him and that He was raised from the dead, that we too will be raised from the dead. That encouragement is real encouragement. That's good news. In fact, it's the best news in history. And there is no better example than Jesus Christ for raising from the dead. Amen? Christ was rose from the dead. We sing about that all the time. How about the environment? Our life is only improved by being close to Jesus Christ. And what about education? Our education comes from knowing Him through His Word and the message of the cross. That's the only education that we need. So what is the secret of life? It's that salvation comes by faith. That's our first point today in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection of the life. Second point, not only do we have to exercise faith in Jesus, you have freedom in Christ. You have freedom in Christ. Look down at John chapter 11, verse 44. If you're there, please say amen. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I don't know about you guys, I love that passage. You see, Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Matter of fact, I believe that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, if he hadn't stipulated, Lazarus, come forth, everybody in that grave would have walked out. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But see, Lazarus walked out. Now, can you imagine how he came forth? Now, think about it. He's bound head and foot, completely wrapped up. So he's coming out of the grave like this. Everybody's watching with their mouths dropped down as he's walking out. And what does Jesus Christ say? See, everyone thought he was dead. Everyone thought the guy would be stinking. He walks right out of the tomb. And by the way, we can wonder how Lazarus felt about that. He was in heaven, amen? Lazarus come forth. If I'm in heaven, I'm going to go, Lord, no. I'm in heaven already. Because he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lazarus had been raised from the dead. He's still bound out. And Jesus says, loose him, let him go. You see, when you exercise your faith and receive Jesus Christ, you are born again. You are born into life in Christ. You have life in Christ. And the grave clothes that bound you up, the sins that bound you up in your life, Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Think about that. You are free from those things. There is power, as we sing in our song, in the name of Jesus. And you are free from all of those things. John chapter 8, verse 36 reads, he whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I thought I'd get a testimony right there. I'm glad I brought my own. I'm excited about this. You see, when I'm saved, I've been set free from death in my sins. Amen. I've been set free. You might be asking, you say, well, Pastor, if I get saved, will I stop all those bad things right away? No. No. It's a work in progress. It doesn't happen right away. Taking off that death shroud takes some time, amen? Setting those things aside and walking freely in the Lord takes some time. Friends, Lazarus needed help and so do we. And listen to me closely. Everybody look up here. It's the job of the church to help. When you have new Christians or you have Christians struggling, that's when they're at their weakest before Satan. And that's when the attacks come. And they need the church. They need the family of God to help them out. You see, did you notice exactly what the Bible said in verse 44, the last part? Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus didn't take off Lazarus' death shroud personally. He didn't make it fall off either. In other words, what happened? He tells God's people, he tells his people, get involved. Unwrap that guy. You have a job to do here. And that person has just returned from the death. Treat him like the miracle that he is and help him get past these grave clothes. Amen? And when somebody gets newly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ and you know them, God speaks to your heart and you should listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and says, get involved in their life. Help them out. Help them avoid those grave clothes. Unwrap them. You see, we're part of the unwrapping process. We're part of walking along with them in life. And don't beat them over the head with your Bible and don't point out all the things that they're doing wrong either. Don't send them emails. Pray about what you say before you click submit on Facebook. It's the job of the church to unwrap the saints. And there are a lot of people who need unwrapping. Amen? Why? Because they're still living in bondage. You may be saved here today. You may be watching on the internet saved, and you're still living in bondage with whatever the one weakest thing in your life is. Find a brother in Christ. Find a sister in Christ. Become accountability partners with them. Ask them to come along and walk alongside of you. Don't walk in that bondage. Don't give in to the Satan. Don't give in to the evil one. Claim your victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Claim victory over that sin. And walk free. Walk free, friends. You see, my job is to teach people about Jesus. My job is to declare, thus saith the Lord. The church's job is to get involved, to help them, And all God's people said, amen. Be a part of the process. And to everyone listening to my voice today, I want to tell you the truth about Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives us life. He is the one that gives us liberty. He has the power to set us free from death when we receive Him. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And the only reason that there is power in the name of Jesus is because there is power in the blood of Jesus. The blood shed upon that cross, the blood that we will symbolize by the partaking of the bread and the juice today, partaking of His body and His blood as we do the Lord's Supper today. Friends, there is power. All you have to do is exercise some faith to trust Jesus to set you free, because there is freedom in Christ. The third point, not only do we have exercise faith in Jesus, not only is there freedom in Christ, but you must have fellowship with Christ. You have fellowship with Christ. Skip down to chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The very next chapter, if you dare, say amen. John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom He had raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Him. Sitting there. Wow. Did you get that? Do you get that scene? Lazarus has gone from the tomb to the table. And friends, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if the rapture doesn't happen before your time comes to leave this world, I want you to know that when you die and shed this earthly body, that you will go from that tomb to the marriage supper table of the Lamb in heaven. It'll be a glorious time. You see, right there, Lazarus is there, Jesus is there, and the Bible specifically points out that Lazarus sat next to Jesus at the table. Now, how many of us would like to sit next to Jesus at the table? All of us want to be there in heaven, amen? I hope the Lord works that out. I don't want to have to, like, you know, knock Miss Marie Cherry over to sit next to Jesus in heaven, elbow her. But we'll all have glorified bodies when we get to heaven, amen? And she can take care of that. Moving on. I don't know why I went there. But can you possibly imagine the fellowship that must have been at dinner with Lazarus and Jesus that day? Now, I want to tell you something, guys. Listen closely. Being saved, listen, guys, this is important. Young people down front, listen to this. Being saved is not some sort of penalty that you pay to get to heaven. It's not a penalty that you pay to get to heaven. When I give the invitation at the end of the service for people to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you're not invited to a funeral. You're invited to a feast. You're invited to a new life in Christ. You're invited to everlasting life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's so important about that. Jesus wants you in heaven. He's inviting you to this feast. If you look on the screen, there's a well-known passage that we're going to show, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. You see, when you sit here in the sanctuary, and you've never received Jesus Christ, and you feel that little tug on your heart, okay? That's the Holy Spirit at work, and that little tapping you hear on your heart. Look at this verse here, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice that opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Isn't that good? Oh man, going from the tomb to the table. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sole purpose of getting you into heaven. And getting you into heaven. And getting you into heaven. And getting all of you and all of us into heaven. That's why He went to the cross. If you will only receive Him as Lord. He wants fellowship with everyone here. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. We've all heard the words that Jesus spoke. I have come to seek and save that which is lost. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I was lost. Amen? But one day I was sitting in church and I received the Lord Jesus Christ, and this great revival took place in my heart. Oh, it's just amazing. And we see here that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, and He wants fellowship with them. How do we know that? Look again. Verse 12, it says, Jesus came to Bethany. Jesus came to Bethany. In other words, He came where Lazarus was, just for fellowship with His people. Guys, when we come to church on Sunday mornings, when we do our Wednesday night services, when we get together and for fellowship, we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be all over that. Amen? Christ is invited to everything that we do. And if we're doing something we're not sure that Christ will be pleased with, stop doing it. You would think that after being raised from the dead, by the way, that Lazarus would have been stuck right on Jesus. In other words, you would think that Lazarus would have been with Jesus wherever he went. But no, Lazarus stayed there. Why? Because after we're saved, life goes on. Jesus saved you. He had you in a specific place where He wants you, and He wants you to share what God, He has done for you in your life. Jesus wants you to share what Jesus has done with others. Amen? That's why He leaves each of us where we are for now. One day we'll all be in heaven. But He wants us here as a witness for Him. And I am saved because I exercise some faith. And that guy, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not on that cross, that guy, the Son of God, came and set me free from my death shroud. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free? Jesus wants you unwrapped at all, as well. And all of God's people said, okay, not only must you exercise faith in Jesus, you then have freedom in Jesus, you have fellowship with Jesus, now you must faithfully witness for Jesus. Our final point. You must faithfully witness for Christ. Look again at John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, our passages for today. I'm going to read through these one more time. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Friends, those last four words are what we are all about in every church service we ever do. Do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus? In other words, he says, he personalizes it. Do you? He's saying to Martha, he's saying to Mary, he's saying to Larry, he's saying to Margaret, he's saying to Gregory, do you believe this? Look at Martha's answer in verse 26. I love this. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. In other words, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Friends, we should be all about faithfulness in receiving Christ. But we need to serve Christ as well, amen? We can't just get saved and then show up in church once in a while. A long time ago, I received Christ as Lord. And when I did, the Son of God set me free. And I still live by the words that Martha just said right here. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. Now let me just wrap this up for us real quick. I've been up here a little while, but that's all right. Look up here at me, friends. I know that we've gone on. We're getting toward the end of the sermon, and you may be thinking, you know, Pastor Larry surprised me in the past. Is he going to have another Bible verse for me? So I don't want to close my Bible. But listen to me. You want to know something? You're looking at a man that cannot die. And if you are born again, you cannot die either. How do I know this? Because Jesus said so in verse 26. Verse 26, he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I have received Jesus Christ. I have fellowship with Him. He has caused my death shroud to be unwrapped. And as the song goes, He walks with me. He talks with me. And yes, when I'm weak, He still reminds me that I am His own. You say, Pastor, I don't know what kind of problems. You don't know what kind of problems I have. Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. You don't know the kind of life I've lived, Pastor. You know what I've done? Maybe not. But I know what I've done. And he saved me. And I know the problem that Lazarus had. He was dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ raised him to life. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he can raise you to life as well. That same power is available to you today. Don't wait. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord. There's no reason to wait on this. We're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when you get in your car to drive home. Don't wait. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if you want to receive Christ as Lord, while the praise team is singing, I want you to come. Come down in the front and pray with me. Or if you just need some prayer, come down in front and pray with me. We're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we never want to partake of that unworthily. Amen? And so while we're singing, just take a moment to pray. Lift yourself up to the Father. Get yourself right with the Lord before you take the Lord's Supper. Exercise some faith in Christ. Live a life of freedom with Christ. Faithfully witness for Christ. And have eternal life and fellowship with Christ. Friends, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.